Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hey, we're back. Sorry about the technical difficulties. I know I maybe lost a few of you guys, but hey, we're back. One Church, One Child with Audrey Lynn Banks. And hey, these shows are recorded, so you guys hang with us. We've had a snowstorm up here around this area, so I'm thinking some of the transmission is affected by the internet, you know, technology. You never know what's going to happen. All right, Miss Lynn, we're back. And I was going to ask you about the discipline part.
In regard to discipline, all children who are in DHS custody, it's prohibited to use any form of physical discipline for the child who is in custody. And that's a big thing in the African-American community.
Yeah, it is, because we spank and whip over here, sometimes even beat.
And with our kids who come into custody, that is not that is not permitted.
Yeah.
And the big thing is that children don't understand the difference between spanking and beating. A lot of times our children are picked up for physical abuse. And if we put them in a home where they are allowed to be spanked, children don't understand the difference between physical abuse and spanking. There is no law that says that you can't spank your children, but there are laws that say you can't beat your children.
Mm-hmm. So I guess some parents have to know when they're spanking and when they're beating. I mean, where do you draw the line between that spanking and beating? You know, is spanking just pitter-patting, like, "Top, don't you do this, dun-dun-dun-dun." Is that spanking?
I don't know. It just depends on the person. And that's why DHS prohibits it, because you never know where that line is drawn between
spanking
each
and beating.
Yes. And a lot of times when parents are spanking, they're spanking out of frustration.
And they're taking it all out on the child.
And anger. And if they become angry during that time, it can be, they may not intend to do it, but it can become more than just a spanking.
Yeah.
Especially if a child is bruised or has marks after they've been spanked.
And then, you know, sometimes some kids become traumatized behind those beatings, you know, because when you become traumatized and you're growing up and you're wondering why you act a certain way or say certain things or do certain stuff because of some of those, that abuse that took place, you know.
And that's correct. And that's why DHS strictly prohibits any type of physical
abuse.
So
you can't put your hands on them, period.
No, sir. Nor do they allow children who are in DHS custody to be spanked at school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So if they go to school, the teachers can't put their hands on them either.
No, sir.
That's a case for that teacher, huh?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is based on the developmental needs of that child. And you try to work with kids to figure out what is the cause of the problem, what's causing this behavior. And that's just good parenting. As opposed to the first resort is to hit a child.
Yeah, we don't want that to happen.
We don't want that to happen.
No.
So you have to prohibit it so that children don't be abused again in a foster home, because that's the last thing we want to happen. It doesn't make sense for a child to be removed from a home for physical abuse, and then we put them in a home and they're physically abused in that home.
Mm-hmm.
So DHS just does not permit any type of physical abuse. Or discipline in a home.
So can I guess a child up to 17 years old can be adopted. 17, right?
Yes.
16, 17 years old.
That is correct. I mean, even adults are adopted. So, but through the
adults?
Yeah, there are adults that are adopted by their parents that
people who've
taken care of them.
Mm-hmm.
But through the DHS system where additional services and programs are provided, it's up until a child turns 18.
What about, now you're going to, this is a different kind of situation, what I'm getting ready to bring up right here.
Okay.
Single parent male.
Yes.
Grown up man.
Yeah.
Qualifies to adopt a child.
Mm-hmm.
But he adopts a 16, 17-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
Is that common or uncommon? It sounds like it would probably be uncommon.
Probably uncommon.
And probably would be more strict investigation, correct?
Mm-hmm.
By him even thinking like that, right?
Correct.
You know?
And that's part of the assessment process. When families are being assessed, the assessment guide itself is over 30 pages long.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
So that's a long process.
It is a long process because we ask a lot of questions because we want to know that we are assessing families to meet the needs of children and are putting them in safe environments,
mm-hmm.
not environments where harm will come to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we ask about motivation. Why are you wanting to do this? Why are you wanting to be a foster parent?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you wanting to be an adoptive parent? Why are you coming forward to do this? We want to know that because is it for selfish reasons or is it for personal reasons or is it for to actually help and meet the needs of a child?
Mm-hmm.
During that assessment process, not only do we do all of those background checks and then the medical, but it also requires a ton of references.
Mm-hmm.
We get references, 3 personal references, references from their adult children if they have them, references from their job, references if they have...
from their church?
A church can usually be a personal reference.
Personal reference.
Yeah, that's usually considered a personal reference.
Mm-hmm.
But if they've had any mental health history, we get references from mental health providers. If their children have received mental health services currently and mm-hmm. they have younger children in the home, we ask for references from them
mm-hmm.
as well. So the references is a minimum of 6 references,
mm-hmm.
but it can go up to 20 depending on how many adult children you have. And it could be, but we want to talk to those people
mm-hmm.
because we want to know, are we putting kids in safe homes?
Right. So do you, how do you evaluate a parent that may have a physical thing going on? Maybe they've got cancer. Do they qualify or don't qualify? You know, say they got cancer, a certain type of cancer, but they can still live and they can still functionable and they're still getting around. How does that work?
Well, part of that is getting the additional information from their physician. You know, when we talked about them having a physical,
mm-hmm.
we want to make sure that their medical condition is not going to prevent them from providing the care
for the
that
kid.
a child needs.
Hmm. I know sometimes, yeah. And if they're not able, a lot of people are willing, I guess, and want it, but they're not able to, you know, take
right.
care of their child.
And that's all part of the assessment process.
Because, mm-hmm.
I mean, even when you're looking at people who have medical conditions, we also look at, you know, the medications they take. How does it affect their ability to provide care? Are those medications, you know, if you have somebody, and this is just an example, if you have somebody that's got, say, well, I have back problems,
mm-hmm.
and they're getting pain prescription medications from 2 or 3 different doctors, we want to ask more questions. And that's what the assessment process is about.
Mm-hmm.
If we see something that we think is a red flag, it's about asking the next
mm-hmm.
question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not being nosy. It's about being precautious. And we always want to err on the safety of a child. So we want to make sure that we're asking the next question. If we're not sure about something, we need to ask the next question.
Need to, huh?
It's just we have to.
Wow. That's kind of... Yeah. So with that happening, the child has medical insurance, right? Do you provide that on your own? How does that go?
Children who are in DHS custody get a medical card.
They get a medical card.
Yes. DHS provides a medical card for children who are in DHS custody. They also provide daycare assistance for a child who is in a home that may require daycare. So DHS also provides that daycare assistance for
mm-hmm.
a family.
For family. Now, is there a minimum income ratio that a family must be able to obtain in order to adopt a child?
No, there's no minimum income ratio. The family has to be able to maintain and meet their own household needs without relying on the foster care payment or adoption stipend to meet the needs of the family. So, if people think they're coming into this business to make money,
that's not the way to go. But some people may be trying to beat the system and come in like that. Oh, well, I get one foster child, then I'll get another, and I'll get another, and just get those checks coming in, right?
Well, but the stipend. Well, the thing about it is that they're paid a month in arrears, so they're reimbursed for care that they've already provided.
Yeah, like we spoke of earlier.
Right. So they've already provided the food. They've already paid electricity and water and all of those things that run a household and help maintain children in the home, buying beds, buying clothes.
Okay.
So we're just reimbursing them for care that they've already provided. Right. So it's not a money-making
situation. So is home ownership a thing that required? Home ownership?
No, they don't have to own their own home.
They can stay in an apartment?
Yes, they can.
Oh, really? Okay. They can stay in an apartment as long as they got the adequate space and everything to take care of that child. And you guys are going and doing an assessment.
Yes.
You know, and qualify them and say yes or no. Now, do you ever pull up on those parents at random without, you know, them know you're coming so they won't be cleaning up the kitchen and sweeping and getting everything in order? Do you just pull up in, knock on the door?
Yes, DHS does that.
Does that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There are instances where they do unannounced visits.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they do announced visits, but they do unannounced visits.
Yeah,
as well.
Because an announced visit can bring about your best behavior.
Correct.
Everybody's acting a certain way, but, you know, you catch them off guard. Uh-oh, oops. You know what I mean? You know, wash them dishes.
Mm-hmm.
So if they live in, like, rural areas out in the country somewhere, you know, is there a reason why they have to travel to take them to school and all that kind of stuff? Is there any requirements of distance from schools?
No,
they
can enroll them in the school district in which they live.
Mm-hmm.
So the families live in a rural school district. They can enroll the kids in that school district.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So tell our listeners again how they can contact you.
They can contact me at 918-794-7536, or they can call our 1-800 number, which is 800-865-0225.
Okay, now, children with special needs.
Yes, sir.
That are in the system, that are looking for a family. Once they qualify, the parents qualify to adopt that child with a special need, are there all the benefits for that child come along to the parents? I mean, how does that work? I'm trying to say, once they're adopted, they take on the responsibility for the needs of the child.
Mm-hmm.
So if that child is getting a disability check,
mm-hmm.
that parent receives that disability check?
Yeah, because it goes to providing care for the kid.
Care for the kid, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So wherever that kid goes, the disability
goes with the kid.
The doctor's
care, all that other.
Correct.
Health insurance, all of that goes with the kid.
Yes, sir.
Goes with the kid. Now, say that that child is in foster care.
Yes, sir.
In a home. And Auntie Julie found out, stays in another state. Found out that the kid was in foster care. Can Auntie Julie come and put in for that child?
Yes. DHS has what's called a kinship care program.
Mm-hmm.
And when a child is picked up, one of the first things that they do is they start looking for appropriate relatives or connections for those children.
Mm-hmm.
Because kids do better with continuity.
Right, exactly.
And if we can keep kids in their community and connected to family, their schools, their churches, their organizations, groups that they belong to, that's going to be better for the kid.
Now, is that choice based upon the kid or the relative? For example, this kid's been staying with their foster parents for 45 years now at that home. And then Auntie Julie, like I said, found out that they were in foster care and that the kids got taken away from her sister. You know, they hadn't been in touch for a while. And they, oh, now I want little Johnny. I want him. So the kid is there. They put in, well, what if she says she wants him, and now the kid don't want to go?
Well, Aunt Julie has a right to be assessed.
She does. And yes, she meets the requirements. Everything's done. She's out of state, though.
Mm-hmm.
How do you contact DHS of that state?
Yes, sir. That's part of the background check process. So if you have somebody that is out of state, we have what's called the Interstate Compact Agreement, where the state of Oklahoma works with other states in regard to placement, because
mm-hmm.
you have family all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
So you may have grandma, you may have Aunt Julie
mm-hmm.
that's in a different state. If they are interested in placement, then what we do is we contact and work with the other state.
Mm-hmm.
And the other state will do an assessment on Aunt Julie
yeah.
in that state to
so
see
Aunt,
if she's appropriate.
Aunt Julie wants little Johnny. She wants him, and she's talking to her mother, and yeah, let's try to get him. We're trying to get him, and but little Johnny, it's been so he wants he don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have to go? If she meets all of the requirements and everything, does he have to leave his foster parents?
Not necessarily, but there would be a lot of people involved in assessing and making that decision. You would have little Johnny's attorney, little Johnny's social worker.
Oh, wow.
Little Johnny's maybe counselor.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people involved in little Johnny's life since he's been in DHS custody. So what they'll all do is assess and see what's in the best interest of little Johnny. And we always try to keep kids with relatives,
mm-hmm.
if at all possible. We try to keep kids with relatives. And that's one of the things that DHS does, is they continuously look for relatives.
Mm-hmm.
They don't stop looking for relatives, even
right.
if it's 4 or 5 years
so,
down the road.
Even in adoptive situations, once you adopt, that's your kid.
That's your kid.
So if Auntie Julie finds out that you're over there with Miss Westmeister, there's nothing she can do.
No, because that child has become the legal child of that adoptive family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she could hope that that family would let her maintain a contact or a connection with
mm-hmm.
that child, but that is at the total
discretion of the parents.
Of the parent.
But foster care is different.
Foster care is different. But Aunt Julie would have to go through the DHS system to have any contact with that child.
Mm.
Because you want to make sure that Aunt Julie is appropriate and that it's not going to be detrimental for her to have contact with that kid.
Mm-hmm. And it can in some situations,
in
right?
In some situations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, those are things we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think our community knows a lot about that right there, you know. So, you know, the adoption agency and the foster care system and the way it works, you know, there are a lot of children who need some very good homes.
Yes.
They need some very good homes.
And that's the point of the One Church, One Child program,
mm-hmm.
is that we are in the African American community trying to find those homes that would be available for children who come into DHS custody.
Mm-hmm.
There are currently 404 African American children in DHS custody in the Tulsa area.
Here, just in Tulsa?
Yes.
That many children?
Yes, 404.
Oh, my God. I didn't think it was that many.
399 of them in foster care, and then the others are in probably a higher level of care.
Mm-hmm.
And we currently only have about 115 adoptive families in Tulsa County that are two-parent household African-Americans, or at least one household member is African-American in that home.
Hmm.
And as far as foster care, we have 140 African-American foster homes in Tulsa County. So if you're talking about 399 kids that we're looking for homes for, and we only have 140 foster homes.
There's a lot of kids that need homes.
There's a lot of kids that need homes.
Yeah.
And, of course, a lot of those kids are placement relatives, and the DHS staff does a good job of trying to make sure that we can get kids into relative placements, that mm-hmm. they make that a mission, and that is the first step that they take whenever a child mm-hmm. is picked up and put in custody, is to try to identify and place with a relative, if at all possible.
Mm-hmm.
But in those instances where there is not appropriate family is when we need those homes.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start talking about recruitment and placement of African-American children, we talked a little bit earlier about we don't want to deny a child a placement based on waiting for a same-race placement. But that Multi-Ethnic Placement Act also tells us that we have to recruit for the kids that we have coming into care.
Oh, so you have to have a recruiting plan, huh?
And that's what One Church, One Child does, is
recruit.
We recruit. And we're the only African-American agency in the state of Oklahoma that recruits specifically for African-American children.
Mm.
Now, we will work with any family who is interested in being a foster adoptive family, because we don't want any child to be without a family. So if a family comes to us that is not African-American, we will work with that family and help them through the process just like we would an African-American family. But our focus is on African-American children, working in the African-American communities, with African-American churches, organizations, to try to find those families who can step up and be what our children need them to be.
Hmm. That's interesting right there. So you guys have an event that's getting ready to take place on November the 17th, right?
Yes, sir.
You want to tell us about it?
Yeah.
Tell us about this event that's coming up on. It's a community health fair, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, yes.
OKDHS, but One Church, One Child and Lacey Park Community Center here in Tulsa partnered to have a first annual community health fair. And it's going to be Saturday, November 17th, 2018, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And when we started talking about having this health and wellness event,
mm-hmm.
November is National Adoption Month.
Yeah, I've been hearing about that, seeing it on TV and everything.
Yes. And mm-hmm. we said, what can we do to try to get the community out to provide important information and education about the need for African-American children right here in our own community? So we partnered up and we decided to do this community health fair. We've contacted over 30 vendors that we're planning to have out that day. Health and wellness vendors. We're going to have some children who are vendors that are young entrepreneurs. We're going to have community service agencies out
mm-hmm.
That are also going to be there to provide services and let families know you have resources right here in your own community mm-hmm. that can provide the services that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to focus on the community to keep services in the community, keep families aware and apprised of services that are right here to help them meet the needs of them and their children that are here in the community.
Mm-hmm.
We, Representative Regina Goodwin did a proclamation for National Adoption Day, and she will be at our event on Saturday.
Okay.
She's going to read a National Adoption Month proclamation. We're going to have kids that are attending classes at Lacey Park that's going to do some performances for us there at Lacey Park on this day. We have several organizations that are in the community that are providing donations for this event that's free. We just want people to come out and hear about the program, pick up brochures, give the kids an opportunity to do some of the activities that we have, learn about the providers that are right here that do health and wellness in your community to make sure that we are also meeting our health needs in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing about it is a community that doesn't feed itself doesn't grow. So we want to make sure that we are not only helping adoptive families, but any family and any child in the community that may not have or knowledge about a resource or a provider that's here.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys giving immunizations? Is it going to be something like that happening or not?
We were trying to get immunizations done that day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we were real successful
at getting that done.
Getting that.
Eye screening, anything
yes.
like that?
We're going to have some eye screening.
I get my eyes checked, huh?
Yeah, we're having some eye screenings, and we're going to have a hearing screening. They're going to do some blood pressure checks
mm-hmm.
as well. We're going to have the Tulsa Black Officers Coalition is going to be out. The sheriff's office is coming.
Mm-hmm.
We have Morton.
Morton's coming down there?
Yeah, Morton's
okay.
coming out. A&M.
Black Nurses Association?
Eastern Oklahoma Black Nurses Association.
A bunch of black nurses, huh?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
They'll be there for our event. There are several different, we have some ladies that are going to sell jewelry.
Okay.
We also
oh, really?
Have, mm-hmm. yeah. We have.
You're kind of festive down there.
Yeah,
huh?
it's gonna be a good time. We're gonna have a photo booth for the kids. We're gonna have arts and crafts projects for the kids that day. We're gonna have health and wellness providers that are gonna come in and talk about their different services that
mm-hmm.
they provide. We have some gentlemen in the community that sell homemade honey.
Homemade honey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know Rodney Sutton. He does that too.
Mr. Sutton is one of our
is
providers.
Is he one of the providers?
That will be
yeah,
there
I buy
day.
Some from him time to time.
Yes,
good
Mr.
guy.
Sutton will be there.
Mm-hmm.
Natural health care products.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have providers there that are going to provide those.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to a young man who has his own cookie business. He's 9, 10 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, he's been on the show on the Juice Radio show.
He's going to
come
out.
Selling his cookie, him and his mom. Yeah, yeah.
They're going to come out and be part
okay.
of our program
mm-hmm.
for the day. We're going to have the Lacey Jammers that are going to perform. We're going to have the...
A lot of people coming, huh?
The oldies. I want to get their name right. Older and Bolder Group is going to do...
Older and Bolder.
Older and Bolder Dance Group that
mm-hmm.
Practices there at Lacey Park.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Swing Out... groups that are going to dance, do a demonstration, as well as a line
mm-hmm.
dance. So we're going to have a good time.
Yeah. I see one of our regulars online right now, 918-269. Maybe he'll press that one button and ask some questions about One Church, One Child, you know, here with adoption and foster care. I don't know. He listens all the time, every show. That's 918-269. Maybe he'll press that one button. But anyway, we're on here with Audrey Lynn Banks, and we've been talking about One Church, One Child. Let's see. He's on there right now, so let's go to the phone line and see what's going on. 918-269. Hey, my regular here on the show. How you doing, man?
Glad to keep warm.
What's going on with you, sir?
I thought about that. I got my TV going. I tried it, but, hey, I had to call on my friend to come save me. You know, I got it going on.
On your television, your programming?
Yeah, I got it right.
Yeah, I saw you in queue here to speak, as you always calling in on the show. I have Audrey Lynn Banks here. She's One Church, One Child, and they deal with adoptions and excuse me, I got a little choked up there. Foster care. And what do you think about it, man? You know, a lot of times African Americans, we are not informed, man, and we don't know what's going on with any of that.
I think it's okay, you know, you adopt some kids. You know, that's a good thing to do because a lot of kids, you know, they need that. You know, they don't have that parent in their life, you know. Even if
yeah.
they're single or both parents, you know, long because. Like I said, a lot of people, you know, it's not a lot of bad kids. They need a lot of love, you know. That's what they need.
They need that love, yeah.
They need some love. That's all they're missing.
Yeah.
But
well, hey.
It's a great thing,
yeah.
you know?
Well, great, man. I want to thank you for calling in. You know, you call in all the time and stuff, and I try to give you a little air time here to, you know, to express yourself.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
thanks, bro. All right, man.
All right. Have a good night.
Okay, thank you. That's one of our regulars. He call in all the time. Yeah, and we have that, you know. You can dial at number 646-716-5525. Speak to Audrey Lynn Banks. You know, we've been talking about one church, one child, about this adoption process and foster care. And I've learned so much just in such a short period of time. This is pertinent information that we need to learn about, that we need to know about. So tell our audience once again, how can they get in touch with you?
They can give me a call at 918-794-7536, or they can call our 1-800 number at 800-865-0225. And we will get back with you as soon as possible because we have such a great need.
Right, great need in the community. Hey, you know, that community health fair, you know, can you tell them the address, you know, and the information, how to get in? And, you know, you got some booths. Booth rentals, right? Just $10?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We have the address is 2134 North Madison Place here in Tulsa. And our booth space is $10. And the checks are made to the Lacey Park Advisory Council. And what we were looking at with that $10 booth space is we wanted to be like a scholarship or honorary honorarium.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you have kids that are there in the community that utilize the services at Lacey Park that may not have the money to go to karate lessons or play tennis or do the different activities.
But would like to go.
Then this money will help those children receive those
services.
What
are they opening up that new addition over there?
That I'm not really sure.
I
know
they've built it all. I mean, all up and got some new stuff going on down at Lacey Park. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think they're shooting for the summer. But I'm not really sure on
that. Okay, maybe
so. Not really sure.
Yeah.
You know, November is National Adoption Month. And one of the things that we're asking as well in the community, I sent out letters to over 150 congregations in the Tulsa, in the northeastern Oklahoma area.
Mm-hmm.
And we're asking that ministers on November 18th to declare it as National Adoption Sunday and that they get their, that they pray for children who are in the adoption and foster care system.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that simple. It's just pray for those kids who are awaiting their adoptive and foster home placement.
Mm-hmm. And so, do something for them.
Yeah. Or they can
Stuff for them, you know. Make them feel warm and comfortable and stuff like that, you know.
And, you know, every family.
Do something for them, you guys.
At some point in time, there are families in every church congregation that has been affected or impacted by foster care and adoption.
Yeah.
We have so many grandparents raising grandchildren. We have so many relatives raising their nieces and nephews.
I know adults who are grown now who've been through the foster care system. You know, they've been through it. You know, and they got stories. And we've talked about it before, some of their stories, right here on the show. But a grown adult, now they're adopting people.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, I know a couple right now that just adopted a little baby.
Right.
You know, not too long ago.
And, you know, people always say, you know, I don't know if I can foster or adopt, but there are plenty of other things that they can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's something as simple as share our brochure with somebody else who might be interested in being an adoptive parent. Provide a Sunday meal or dinner to an adoptive or foster parent.
Mm-hmm.
Donate gently used clothes. Give a gift card to a family so that they don't have to cook dinner. It may be
something you can do.
Something as simple as a gift card to Domino's Pizza.
Yeah.
Provide backup care. Support a child in athletic activity. Just be there to cheer for them at a game.
Mm-hmm.
Go over and lend a hand. A lot of these people you already know. You can cook a meal, fold some laundry, watch kids while they grocery shop, be an honorary grandparent, aunt or uncle. Be a big brother, sister, or mentor to an older foster child.
Mm-hmm.
Provide a job for you. Put one of our One Church, One Child recruitment signs in your yard. Everybody can do their part. I understand that everybody can't be a foster or adoptive parent, but for our children in the community, all of us can do something.
That's true.
Because, you know, Mr. James Baldwin said, that for these are all our children, we will profit or pay for what they become.
Hmm.
If we don't do it,
nobody else will.
Nobody else will. And we can't expect other people to raise our kids. We have to do it.
Yeah, we have to do it. And it's something we must do. you know, get involved with One Church, One Child, Audrey Lynn Banks. And, hey, you know, we got about 15 minutes left, but I want to thank you, you know, for coming on the show, sharing all of this great, pertinent information, you guys, and get in touch with her. And I want to thank you before we leave. I'm going to get into some other things right here on the show. But what can I say? You know?
Well, we want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to present and provide information on this platform. We're always looking for opportunities.
Yeah.
To share information.
I'm going to get you back.
With the public.
We'll do it again.
Well, we would love to come back.
Yeah, love to give. And maybe we can get you and whoever you want to bring. If you don't want to bring nobody, that's fine. Volunteers or something like that. It would be nice if we could bring a child or a foster family.
I could do that.
You know, someone who's currently doing it, you know, so we can see how they what the experience is like, you know.
I'm sure we could work that out.
Yeah, foster, you know, adoptive or whatever.
Or even one of our churches as one of our biggest supporters. If I could get a minister to come on with me.
Yeah,
that would
be fine too. We'll get that. We'll get that happening. Not just because it's adoptive month, but this is something that's got to be every month.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know, it's got to be ongoing, and this kind of information I like, you know, that reaches out to our community that we don't know that much about, because it makes a difference, you know, and it's all about family, you know, and we've got to be doing what's necessary and restoring our families, because that's where it starts first.
Yes,
restoring
sir.
Restoring those families. Well, hey, like I said, thank you for coming on, and we're going to get you back in here, okay?
All right. Thank you for having me, Mr. Eaton.
All right. Well, hey, you're on the Bobby Eaton Show, where we tell our stories our way. Coming up Wednesday, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, it's the Voices of Unity with Janice Bayouth. And we've got a lot of people coming on the show. And we're going to be right here. Miss Sansa Ray is out. And she's not here, my co-host. She had a death in the family. So those of you, just bear with her. She'll be back probably on Wednesday, hopefully. We'll just have to see. Well, until the next time, we want you to have a good one. Peace, soul, and blessings, okay?